Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Hi, everybody.
Are you Dr. Nick?
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Welcome back to Box, Box, Box.
Literally that
we're here.
Sorry, mate. Basically that I wanted to do that like for the last couple of weeks. And every time I bring it up, I forget about it. And then,
hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
We're here covering. Not reviewing.
We're proving we've got fucking ADHD, mate. That's what we're proving.
We're highlighting our coverage on
Imola
Grand Prix, because we keep saying Imola because we can't say the actual name of it because we're not Italian enough.
No,
we even though my name is practically Italian. Yeah. Dominic is Italian.
Bro. Your name's
not
Mario.
It's not that. I was going to say it's not like Mario or
it's
Luigi.
It's not like Mario, Luigi, Giovanni, Umberto.
He's Italian though. Italian origin.
Well, your dad sells Avon.
Not anymore.
Anyway, what are we talking about today, Dom?
Obviously, we're going to be doing the... I keep saying review, but it's not really a review, is it? We're going to be talking about the Imola Grand Prix.
Sensational. What else?
The upcoming F1 25 game. Which we'll talk about a little bit.
Toto's leaving F1.
I love how you're trying to do your Napa face.
The fuck? Nah. I need to get a photo of Jordan just so we can insert it. That means getting him to sign a consent form or release form.
We're also talking about
the Monaco GP.
The upcoming Monaco GP.
And the new two-step rule for...
There's a few other things, but I felt
two-stop
like...
Two-step or two-step? Two... Inside.
Hold tight with the Monaco Grand Prix.
So, Dominic.
Before we do get started.
How are?
It was meant to be 5 Monaco facts this weekend, but I didn't like one of them that ChatGPT spat it at me. Just thought I'd throw some in there. Obviously, there's the new mandatory two-stop rule. This applies even if it's a wet race. So... you have to use two different compounds.
Two different compounds even in a wet race?
Yeah, so you'd have to do an inter or a full wet, regardless.
That's what...
Yeah, boy.
I kind of fuck with that as an idea, but that's wild.
A bit dangerous. I highly recommend... Cadence Braking did a TikTok or an Instagram reel talking about the new two-stop rule for Monaco. She went into a lot more detail. A lot more factual and knowledgeable than what I suppose ours is, but yeah.
Yeah, that's because we're professional idiots, mate.
Yeah. Second up, McLaren are running their special Riviera livery.
Have you seen Ferrari's gone even more white suit?
Yeah.
But there's been no photos of Lewis. I don't know what's going on over there.
If you can't beat them, join them. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're going, that Williams looks good.
Honestly, mate, I don't actually know what the fuck's going on at Ferrari, because you've just seen he was like, Lewis. And now it's just like Leclerc. I mean, look, Lewis unfollowed Ferrari on Instagram. That was a big freaking bit of
drama
lately.
Do you know what?
Go on.
They keep banging on about Leclerc. You know, ever since we tried his ice cream.
Yeah, something like that. You know what, mate? I literally booked an appointment with my doctors over that. I thought I was going to die. Literally, mate. Look, the pain I was in lasted. We recorded that episode Tuesday, last week. I've only just recovered from the pain of it.
So really the listeners should be thanking you for your demonstrational purposes.
Yeah. The pain I put myself through.
I'm just passing that blame somewhere else. Is it someone else? Yeah. I appreciate you taking one for the team and doing it for the content.
Yeah.
The things you put your body through for this podcast.
Sensational.
That's what it is.
Sensational.
So the other two things, obviously rain could be at Monaco. It's highly predicted.
I mean, I was about to say Monaco, which is easily the most, not as much now because obviously the new rules are putting in and obviously because the cars are absolutely fucking massive now.
Big boys.
But because of like, obviously, Monaco being a bit of a mad lad race and it being wet.
Should be fun.
There's going to be so many crashes.
Looking forward to it.
Sensational.
And last but not least, obviously, Senna holds the most F1 victories at Monaco with 6 in total, that was.
Can I be honest? That's some fucking good going, you know, Monaco.
That's a lot of times getting pole.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Nah, mate, because in them eras, people overtook at Monaco.
Yeah, it was still dangerous.
They were like tiny cars. Those blokes had bollocks bigger than Randy Marsh in that one episode.
Yeah, let's not talk about that episode because there's some touchy subjects in that.
Yes, we'll dodge over that one. Anyway, so Dom, Toto stepping down.
Yes. So
what?
This is...
Sorry, in the words of Lil Jon. What?
This is obviously... It's all predicted or it's a judgment thing, but I'll read this here. So the article from The Judge 13, which I've never heard of as a reliable news source before, but that's how they get clicks, I suppose, dated on the 17th of May, suggests that Toto Wolff may be preparing to step down as Mercedes Formula One team principal. His absence at the Italian Grand Prix this weekend to attend his son's graduation highlighted the team's ability to operate smoothly without his physical presence. This seamless functioning indicates a broader strategy of decentralising leadership and grooming successors, reflecting Wolff's long-term vision for a self-sustaining team. While no official announcement has been made, these developments point toward a potential transition in Mercedes' leadership structure. Now, right. Toto has time off from time to time. All team principals miss races.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe at least once or twice in a season.
No, yeah, exactly.
And when I pulled this article up originally a couple of days ago, I did a little bit of digging, and he's had quite a few days off, especially in the last season. I think he had one other day off this season as well, but again, I could be wrong. But... I mean, I don't think he's going to step down from the team. I just think he might step down as the face, as the team principal sort of thing.
See, I don't know if I agree with that because Toto, he loves Formula One. But it's also one of those ones, I think for him, he's a massive family man first.
Yeah.
Like Susie and his kids come first. Like, and I think for me, that's the sign of somebody who's built a team that's got good, such lower level leadership. He doesn't need to be there as much. He's there more being the face and making sure that things are right. But it's
for a bad example would be Zak Brown. He's not a team principal. He's the CEO.
But he's the face of the brand.
But yeah, exactly. But he's then you've got Andrea Stella, who is the team principal. And no one really talks about him all that much.
No, because Zach's the one who turns up to all the meetings.
Yeah, Zach's the kind of PR guy, isn't he?
So, yeah, Zach's the face.
So, but maybe... Maybe that's what Toto will be. He'll be more the face and less the principal, maybe. Yeah. I don't know, because he's CEO as well, I believe. So,
I don't know how I feel about that, because obviously obviously there's always speculation in the sport, but I do think with Toto, I don't know if I believe that yet. I'll believe it when there's a more formal, when it's not like a clickbaity article, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is definitely clickbaity. I'm just looking at my driver's thing that I made at the start of the season.
Yes.
So just to double check. And Toto Wolff is CEO and team principal. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
Who knows?
I feel like that
hasn't... I just feel like that's something that like you can ponder on, and that's like, well...
Yeah, I hope he doesn't, because I bloody love Toto.
We all love Toto. Everyone loves Toto.
You know, it amazes me, actually.
Except for Christian Horner. But I was about to
transition into Christian Horner. He's still got his fucking job by the team.
Not got his P45 in the post yet.
No, his P45 ain't in the post yet.
Well, before we get lost in a tangent on team principals, let's move on to
the Formula One game for F1 25, you were saying?
Yeah, so the latest installment of the Formula One video game series, F1 25, is scheduled for release on the 30th of May. So that'll be... a week, when you're hearing this live, it'll be that, you know, a week away. And then on the next episode, it will then be live. Pre-order gives you loads of free stuff and all that malarkey. But the game obviously is going to feature updated graphics, new gameplay modes, and the return of the popular Breaking Point story mode. I personally don't have a clue what the Breaking Point story mode is.
I think that was a bit before our time.
Yeah. What was the one we were playing? 21?
We were playing 20, but obviously, mate, I was playing like Formula One, like in like 2004 and 5, like on like PlayStation 2.
I played one on the Xbox 360 years ago, back with, it was BMW Sauber. So that would have been between 2006 and 2010. So
a long ass time ago.
That was the last time I played, but I'm looking forward to that. I reckon we should just get it. Yeah, I was thinking about getting it for the like downtime in between like summer break and all that. I feel like we should just get it.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, but
I mean, when I have 5 minutes, so I'm not.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm the craziest, most busy person on the planet at the minute. Don't know what's going on. Just not used to shit. I've normally got loads of downtime. Well, no, I haven't.
But we normally have enough downtime, though.
To do shit, but literally, mate, we just don't have downtime at the minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, continuing on, Tag Watches, Tag Heuer. I've done a deal with Monaco. In a historic move, Tag Heuer have signed a landmark deal to become the first ever title partner of the Grand Prix, of the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah, so it's the first time ever that Monaco's had a title sponsor. So, you know...
I've gone clean out my head now.
What have we got here? So we had there was the Louis Vuitton Australian Grand Prix, the Heineken Chinese Grand Prix, Lenovo Japanese Grand Prix, Gulf Air. So all of these Grand Prix in the past have had.
Yeah, it isn't like one of the isn't Dubai or Emirates like one of them. Like is like the Emirates Grand Prix.
There's the Qatar Airways,
but
that's British Grand Prix. What? Hang on, I'm pulling this in there.
Here we go. We've done this to get rid of laptops, and then
we got the Moët Belgian Grand Prix, Qatar Airways British Grand Prix, mad MSC Cruises Austrian.
MSC, the Italian company.
Yeah, and then Qatar Airways, Qatar Grand Prix, and the Etihad Airways, Abu Dhabi. There you go. I think that's the one you were referring to.
Yes.
So there's...
As I was saying, though, so it will be officially named the Formula One Tag Heuer Grand Prix de Monaco, marking a significant collaboration between Formula One and a luxury watch brand.
That is it.
I will say that's interesting because obviously, like, we were speaking to your dad about this actually. At well, the F1
whole
as well.
The whole the whole Tag Heuer and Rolex.
Yeah, because in my living history of F1, it's always been Rolex. But your dad, and to be honest, I spoke to my dad as well. He went, it was Tag back in the day.
Tag was big in like the late 80s, early 90s, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, could be wrong.
But the thing is, he's like Tag's one of those brands where they're still a super luxury watch brand. But they're not Rolex and they're not Omega.
I think the thing with Tag is it's relatively achievable for most people.
Oh yeah,
to get a Tag. But you can also spend 40-50 grand on a Tag as well. But you can also buy a Tag for a grand. So yeah. You know. But I think that's good.
My mate, it's 70 quid Manchester markets.
My sister was in Bulgaria and she was like, "Do you want one of these £20 Rolexes?"
Oh, Rolex.
I was like, no. So they were convincing. But anyway, moving swiftly on. So the last point before we get started and start talking back again about Imola is McLaren obviously looking to bounce back at the upcoming Monaco Grand Prix. So they have a record 15 wins at Monaco. The team are optimistic about their chances and Oscar Piastri currently leads teammate Lando Norris by 13 points and hopes to build his strong performance from last year. So obviously the last race was the first race in 4 or 5 that Norris outscored Piastri.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like I did some of them saying to you, like the whole last race, we're going to get into that more in a second. And I'm intrigued for Monaco and we got some notes for that later. But yeah, qualifying,
big one. So I messaged you, didn't I, when I was watching it and I was like,
yeah,
it's been on 5 minutes and you need to watch it.
Yeah.
So obviously the first thing to talk about in that was
Yuki crashing
in Q1. That was chaos. That first of all, like we, just a moment to talk, well, not even talk, just reflect on how bad that crash
was.
Can
I be totally honest? Like, I remember saying to Beck about this, like, it's one of those ones where whether you love the halo or whether you hate the halo, that was proof that it works there and then.
100% safe as
well. Well, like, literally, like, that he went airborne and flipped and landed on the halo and literally got out and raced the next day. Like, Yuki Tsunoda really, I'll be honest, it should have been whoever's Red Bull's reserve driver for that race should have stepped in for Yuki.
Yeah, that was...
I feel, not even from a physical point of view, he may have been cleared to race from a physical point of view. And I know they say he should get back on the horse straight away, but...
Mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, he needed probably a day or two just to...
But at the same time, race car drivers...
They are, but to be fair, I'll always remember...
Feel different.
I'll remember when Lewis Hamilton had a big crash and he was on when in the days of Top Gear, and Clarkson says to him, he said, so what's it like when you crash? He said, it's not too bad, to be honest. You're just staying like, oh, here we go. And because you're so like harnessed in,
yeah,
you're just kind of one with the car.
As someone that's been in, a high-speed accident, it's an experience. But I know you get climatized to it the more it happens, but I definitely wouldn't ever want to do it again.
Oh, no, like,
and I wasn't as strapped in as what you would be in a Formula One car. But, and, you know, I didn't roll. That's that. But, my God, it's kind of a 50-50 thing where you're like, it's not that bad. And then also it's like, I was riding like an adrenaline rush from that whole instant for like at least an hour. Before it kicked in and realised.
I'll be honest, mate, you were probably riding the adrenaline rush for about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well,
like before.
No, that like post buzz of just, well, not buzz, but like, you know, I suppose it's shock, but I didn't
feel it.
Well,
it's shell shock, isn't it?
So, yeah. Not that, you know, I'd say I'd compare with myself to crashing a Formula One car like that.
Oh, no, like on
Yuki's crash.
Yuki's crash. I remember watching it and I was like, shit.
As like the day progressed and more like videos started appearing online from like the crowd's perspective as well, it's like,
yeah,
it was quite, what you've got to remember as well is this is the track that Ratzenberger and Senna died at.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And when I saw it, I was like,
as I said, whether we like it or not, these cars being a bit longer and having the halo, it's things like that saves them
100%,
because they have got those crumple zones there. They've got space for things to, I guess, go wrong.
Yeah. And it's all those little bits and bobs all put together, like the halo, the hands device, like all those little things add up and protect you. So
exactly.
Big up Yuki for walking out of that and then competing in the race. So
yeah, he's fucking built different on that.
He might be small, but he's got some big ass gonads.
Yeah, he's got some big cojones, man.
Anyway.
But Sabre. So, or whatever the fuck they're called these days.
So, if you watched the race coverage on Sky, you'll have noticed they talked about quite frequently that it was Sauber's, 600th Grand Prix? Under all the different names that they've had, obviously.
One second, we're going to transition. We're getting a work call in, just 1 minute. Right. Sorry about that, mate. Where were we? Basically, somebody just called out our office firm wanting to rent some equipment, and we're still an active business when we're recording this. And money affy mech. As we were saying about Sabre, and you were saying on last week's race.
Yeah, so it was Sabre's 600th. That's the tongue twister.
600th race.
Sabre's 600th Grand Prix under all their different names. Just to go through them all real quick. 1993, they were founded as, obviously, Sabre. Going through to 2006, they changed to BMW Sabre. 2010, it went back to Sabre. 2019, Alfa Romeo. And then they changed in 2024 to...
Kick Sabre.
Which, they obviously, who they're racing as now. So,
and in 2026, they will become Audi.
Yeah.
What a crazy, crazy, crazy world. But yeah, they're 600 GP. You know what? Another person who had a crash though, fuck Sabre, Franco Colapinto.
Yeah.
Mate, you know what? Did you see Jack Doohan's dad?
It was the crash. It was like, oh no, Colapinto's off. Camera pants Jack Doohan. Oh, guys.
Bro, wild.
Zero chill.
Bro, it was, oh, I can't think what Jack Doohan's dad's called, but I just saw him put it on Instagram and then it all got removed. It's gone around everywhere. And he's like, yeah, switching drivers, really good idea that was.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Anyway.
Ollie Bearman didn't make it into Q2, but Gabriel Bortoleto did.
Yeah, so the thing that kind of threw me off with all of that is, so Colapinto's crash, he'd already put in a time which got him into Q2, and then he crashed. So I think he was 14th or 15th.
Yeah.
And I thought the rules meant if you crashed out in a quali session and caused a red flag, your time's taken off the board, which would then have resulted in Oliver Bearman and Gabriel Bortoleto going in, because Bearman's time was, pardon me, Bearman's time was deleted.
That's too big.
Because just as he drove over the finish line, and I think Alex Brundle went through the slow-mo of the car crossing the finish line a couple of times and was talking about how it's like, oh, he didn't make it. And then he was like, oh, no, it looks like he actually did make it before the red flag come through. And yeah, and the FIA deemed that, you know, his time didn't count, even though it did. But hey-ho. I just, yeah, it was all a bit like, And I did some research and I couldn't actually find anything about if you crash and cause the red flag. But at the start of the season, I remember distinctively talking about it. So,
you know, though, I still wasn't ready for Lance fucking Stroll to knock out the two Ferraris in Q2.
Neither.
What the fuck is going on? I remember watching it, right? I was lying in bed watching qualifying and I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Neither Ferrari made it out of Q2. That is,
like, honestly, what the actual fuck? Yeah, they're in
their home race.
Literally, as we've got, because we've got F1 on the screen there. Literally, I don't think that could have paused any better with them starting in P11 and P12.
Mental.
What the actual fuck is that? But obviously, Piastri took the pole with the starting grid being Oscar Piastri, Max Verstappen, and George Russell. So moving on to the race highlights.
So obviously that first fight for the first corner or first two corners.
I'm sorry, Piastri bottled it.
Yeah.
He bottled it, and I was so disappointed in Piastri as well, because...
Well, if you recall from the Red Bull episode, what was it, episode 2 of the podcast, where we...
Very much, I think so.
Where what that guy said... I think almost word for word is Max Verstappen's attitude is move over or we both crash.
Yeah. It's move or crash attitude.
That was what Verstappen did. And
exactly.
Piastri went, oh, fuck this. I don't want to crash.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, in a way, because if...
It's better to dodge and just accept the position loss than to...
But at the same time, if you keep doing that, Verstappen's just going to walk over everyone. So.
Exactly.
But that... Obviously, pissed George Russell off. And I think if Piastri wouldn't have braked as harsh.
Yeah, Piastri basically brake checked with George Russell.
But I don't think he meant to, but yeah, Russell probably almost could have got first from that. But
yeah.
I think I showed you the message that my mate Tom messaged me when it happened, because I put it on my story and it was like, what a fucking move from Verstappen. Still a cunt though. But like, yeah, so.
I will say, have you heard about Pierre Gasly's new job?
Go on.
He's got a job with Tarmac because he's really good at kicking gravel up everywhere.
Yeah.
For our non-UK audience, because he's a shitload, Tarmac is a company who lays gravel and tarmac, or asphalt for the American, for the American listeners.
Laying down roads, basically.
They're shit at it as well.
In this country, yeah.
Yeah. Three-day road closures.
Maybe Pierre Gasly's the person we need to fix the UK.
Maybe it is.
Speaking of Pierre Gasly, it's what I'm wearing today.
Pierre Gasly!
Last season's Alpine shirt.
Shit.
Before old cheating old Flavio got hold of him.
But honestly, though, like... Yeah, I saw him come up. And the fact I will give Pierre Gasly is fucking fair fucks, because he pulled that back.
He did.
I thought he didn't give up.
He hit the gravel and went, well, it's what it is, isn't it?
It is what it is, and he just fucking parried to it. And I'll be honest, I didn't think he was coming back from that.
He did well and held his position after he got back on the track quite well as well. So,
yeah, that. I did not expect him to pull that back. But yeah, obviously, Norris and Russell were...
There was a lot of back and forth.
There was lots of battles, lots of challenges going on.
I think that's the thing with this entire race, is there was a lot of racing.
Yeah, Formula One's been getting better lately because there's been actual racing.
It was one of the first races of the season where I felt like there was adequate amounts of overtaking and strategic.
There was strategy.
Which is why Ferrari didn't do too bad, too well, but they actually did quite well. All things.
Honestly, like...
I mean, there was a safety car, two VSCs, and Ferrari didn't fuck it up.
I think the thing is Ferrari as well. Ferrari
maybe this is their year.
Like, shut up, don't say that. We that's how you curse Ferrari. So it's what Ferrari fans have been believing for fucking years is that it's their year. But yeah, I think Lewis drove incredibly.
He did.
And we'll get onto that a little bit later on because I think that is in the...
Yeah, yeah. So...
notes. So after
Piastri with his slow pit stop, I think they really shafted him on that.
3.6 seconds in modern Formula One is...
When you compare it to Norris's pit shortly after...
Which was just over 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's like...
I think the thing is as well is that like you saw Piastri and you saw... Well, you could see on the leaderboard, you could just see the positions dropping down.
It happens from time to time though, doesn't it?
It does.
There, and there like, is, there's a bad...
like you can have a wheel nut, like an might not be safe to release. It's...
Yeah, that's what it comes down to a lot of the time.
I think we don't want a repeat of what happened with Antonelli and...
Verstappen, I think it was.
Verstappen, yeah. We don't want
to... Verstappen got that penalty for that. I feel so bad for saying it, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
But
it should have... I think in that if anything ever happens like that again in any race, it shouldn't be put on the driver. It should be put on the constructor's points.
Yeah, but then you're penalising points. It's a bit different.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's the only fair way to do it because Verstappen was of no way.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
No, it shouldn't. And it should be the team should be punished.
Can any of our listeners come up with some creative punishments for the teams that won't be a point deduction, for example, but teach the teams a lesson, keep it clean?
I was going to say peg helmet marker.
Keep it clean as Sam brings up pegging.
You're begging for a pegging, mate.
Begging for a pegging.
Anyway.
Moving on. Obviously, Ocon with his power unit failure.
Yeah, 10 second penalty for a power unit failure.
So yeah, that was lap 29 or 30, I can't remember, which brought the virtual safety car out.
You know what, again, I feel sorry for drivers when it's completely out of their control when shit goes wrong, like when power units fail, gearboxes fail.
It is what it is.
So we had a VSC at lap 30 as well.
So that was the first driver retirement of the race.
What I will say for me, and I voted him driver of the day, was Alex Albon.
Yeah, he did do quite
Albon
well.
Albon drove foot. You know what? I think Williams in the later half of this, in the next half of the season, is where we're going to see Williams really get some legs. Because I feel like Williams have done it before. It's been a long time since we've seen Williams do well. They've always been a mid to back team.
2006 or 7 was the last.
That's what I mean. And since then, they've sort of been a mid-pack to back of the pack team. And now they're becoming they're getting near the grid.
They're top of the mid now, I would say. So easily.
They're becoming a very bloody competitive team. And I love to see it.
We do.
I love to see it because Williams, they're a bit of... Well, they're not an F1 underdog because they're proper pedigree.
They're a legacy team.
A proper pedigree team, but they're a bit of an underdog because they've just had a bit of a shit show, and they're not like Sabre, who are again a legacy team, but no one just gives a shit about them.
Yeah, Sabre have kind of, they've never had a like world class team, whereas
no, that's
obviously
exactly
Williams
it.
Have a few times in the past. But
so yeah, again, so moving on though, obviously, Piastri pitted under the virtual safety car again.
Bold move. Ferrari. No. Oh yeah, so Piastri pitting under the VSC. You told me you wanted to make a note of the Ferraris doing relatively well. I mean, they started, P11, P12?
Yeah.
And
Hamilton finished in P4, didn't
they? Yeah, P4 for Hamilton and P6 for Leclerc. So fair play to Ferrari. They pulled it in for this one.
What I will say though is obviously Antonelli went off on lap 46. I want to get back to that in just a second and jump to lap 47. We'll go back. Was Ferrari's as a team poor tyre management?
Yeah.
Like everyone.
I can't remember
had,
which driver that was.
That was Leclerc.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Like they didn't have. What? It's a hard one. Is it Leclerc's poor tyre management or is it the team's poor tyre management?
Well, obviously at lap 47, how were they to have expected that there'd be a safety car and they needed another fresh tyre to complete the race on?
Yeah. Or, I mean, how have you not got a set of tyres that might not be fresh, but they may be in better condition than what he's on?
It depends, though, because if he had hards on and he'd just put them on, then, and they would have, I think if they had a medium, like a fresh set of mediums for him,
yeah,
they probably would have put him on them to finish the race on, maybe.
Yeah.
But the softs were terrible all weekend. The mediums seem to have done relatively well because that's what Aston Martin were running when they were doing so high in the pack and everyone else was on softs. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like because it was the C6s this weekend for the softs and I think that's the first time they've been out all season. I don't know. I'm not that much of a tyre nerd when it comes to Formula One. But
Mate, can I be honest? I just know proper tyre compound, like 50, 100, 150, 200. Like, I know that sort of race tyres. Like, C4, 5, 6, and 7, that confuses the shit out of me. But anyway, going back to lap 46 with Antonelli, you know what, mate? My fucking heart went out for the lad.
I did feel real bad for him.
Like, I did. Like, I was really rooting for him, especially his first season in Formula One and at his home race.
His first home race.
And he has fucking his engine. Was it a power unit failure?
It was some kind of mechanical failure. It weren't anything that was.
It's either going to be a power unit or gearbox.
Something real bad.
Like, but yeah, obviously, so the race resumed at lap 54. And Matt, have you seen that meme of like that convict and it's got all like the, and there's all the police around him? And then basically he just takes off and the police chase him, but he's just like rapid. That was Verstappen off the line.
I was going to say, he loves to do that. Like he'll back everyone right up and then just out of nowhere, just put the power on and just be like, see ya. And it's like, it's a game of whoever's quickest.
You know that is. VTEC just kicked Joe.
Pretty much, yeah.
That is.
Oh, sorry.
Dom just fell.
Started sliding down the sofa.
But yeah, obviously Hamilton. I just love the fact that it says ham. Makes me want a ham sandwich. I mean, Hamilton don't want a ham sandwich.
No.
Wants a mushroom sandwich.
So, Hamilton getting past Russell. I mean, his fight for what position was he? Fourth?
Yeah, fight for fourth.
So, he got past Russell, who finished seventh. But, just, yeah, he definitely, he put the hammer down for sure.
Yeah.
So, big up Hamilton for that.
Yeah, I bet say, like, it's, like Jack at F1,
he's a big Hamilton fan, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Go on, big man. Because I know he listens, you know, every week without fail. What a guy!
What a guy!
I remember him saying like Hamilton's a tyre, and I always do call him now. But he is. If Hamilton's on hard, he's a tyre whisperer on them. You know, he can make a set of hards last longer than a lot of people on track.
Oh yeah. Do you know what, though? George is pretty good at that now as well.
Yeah.
But I think he's learned from Hamilton.
How to tie, the ways of just tyre management. So. But yeah, obviously, Norris took second from Piastri on lap 58. And you know.
That was wild. That
you
was.
You know, that was. That
Did
was,
you hear how many people were like cheering at Formula One, though?
I know. Bro, I was vexed. I was like, yeah, I was like, this shit, man.
What do you mean? And everyone's like, it's like, I was like, nah, okay, fuck yourself. Clearly, we have different views.
Fuck yourself. The thing is, people love Lando Norris because he's a bit of a heartthrob.
I think people like Lando, obviously, understandably, because he's British, and I get the kind of patriotism with it. But at the same time, I'd see Piastri gets a lot of like stick for being essentially like emotionless and calm all the time. But that's why he's able to win races a lot, because he's level-headed. Whereas like Norris, it can get to him from time to time, and that's his weakness.
Yeah.
So, and I know we're all human, but it's a dog eat dog world in like Formula One. So, yeah.
But obviously, Albon was forced into the gravel on lap 60 by, was that Leclerc?
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, Leclerc was forced to give the place back, and I fucking stand by that. You know, nobody likes the FIA in Formula One, but that was the right call.
Well, yeah, because that way the FIA don't have to intervene, and that if he would have got even a 5 second time penalty for that, that would probably would have bumped him down, because where was he? Leclerc was sixth, so that could have pushed him into like eighth, ninth, maybe.
Yeah, so it was the best call.
It was the best call. It lost him what, 2 points in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that was definitely it. And then obviously, Max Verstappen wins. And you know what?
What is it, 2022 again? What's going on?
What I will say is that Verstappen drove fucking incredibly on the weekend.
He did. I can't
say honestly that he didn't deserve that race, because he really fucking drove well.
He drove really, really well.
It's the best I've seen him drive. Well, when I say best seen him drive, I think because he's had to race more, because the McLarens are fast and a lot of the other cars have caught up with him now. It's not just Verstappen is frigging 30 seconds ahead of everyone. He's actually having to fight.
He was 30 seconds ahead of everyone in this.
I mean, yeah, he was in this one.
At one point, yeah.
I don't know the fuck where he pulls it from.
He did well, and he deserved the win.
Right, I'll take odds, you take evens.
Let's go. So, race results.
P1, Max Verstappen.
P2, Lando Norris.
P3, Oscar Piastri.
P4, Lewis Hamilton.
P5, Alex Albon.
P6, Charles Leclerc.
P7, George Russell.
P8, Carlos Sainz.
P9, Isaac Ajar.
P10, Yuki Tsunoda.
P11, Alonso.
P12, Nico Hülkenberg.
P13. Pierre Gasly!
That was a little bit lame, but to be fair, yeah. P14, Liam Lawson.
P15, Lance Stroll.
Strolovich. Did you know that's his name? Lance Strolovich. P16, Franco Colapinto.
P17, Oliver Behrman.
P18, Gabriel Bortoletto.
P19 with a DNF, Kimi Antonelli.
And last but not least, but definitely a 10-second time penalty. Behind 10. Time penalty, Esteban Ocon also
we're
with a
shit
DNF.
At this, you know. We're so shit at this.
So I mentioned to Sam earlier as well, while we were kind of summarising things, and because there's been a little bit of a change around in finishing orders, i.e. Piastri hasn't been, well, didn't dominate this race. I feel like it's a good time to go through the drivers and the constructors champions kind of standings. So, hang on, that's cut off ever so slightly. Do you want to start reading through them while I pull the last two, no, last three names out off the bottom of that list real quick?
So this is the driver standings of where we are. How are we doing with? Are we doing this with how many points they've got? Or
yeah, so I'd say ignore wins and podiums. Maybe go wins and podiums for the top five. Wins and podiums for the people that have wins and podiums. And
okay,
then drop
so
off from
obviously
there.
Currently leading the driver standings is Oscar Piastri with 146 points, 4 wins and 6 podiums. Following Piastri is Lando Norris, who drives again for McLaren with 133 points, 1 win and 6 podiums again. Following that is Max Verstappen at Red Bull with 124 points, 2 wins and 4 podiums. Following that again is George Russell at Mercedes with 99 points. Sadly, no wins, but 4 podiums again for George.
I think George Always gets third. That's his lucky number.
It's his lucky number, isn't it? Then is Mr. Leclerc. 61 points, no wins, 1 podium.
Mark Hervé-Percival.
Pardon?
Mark Hervé-Percival.
That's the one.
Go on.
Following Leclerc. That is Mr. Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari with 53 points, no wins. Then it is Lewis's replacement, Kimi Antonelli at Mercedes with 48 points. Then Alex Albon, 40 points. Esteban Ocon with 14 points and a 10-second time penalty. Then Lance Stroll with 14 points. Then Carlos Sainz Jr. How the fuck does Lance Stroll have more points than Carlos Sainz? Then it's...
Wild.
Then it's Yuki Tsunoda with 10 points. Pierre Gasly with 7 points. Isaac Ajar with 7 points. Nico Hülkenberg with 6 points. Oliver Behrman with 6 points. Fernando Alonso with 0 points. Liam Lawson with 0 points.
That's the end of the list that we got printed. So after Liam Lawson, everyone's kind of got 0 points at that point. But Jack Doohan, Gabriel Bortoleto, and now in the list to make it 21 drivers, but obviously only 20 simultaneously. Franco Colapinto, also with 0 points, sadly. Which brings us to the constructor standings.
Sorry, the constructor standings. So Dominic, you can go for that one.
So McLaren are top of the table with 279 points, 5 wins and 12 podiums. Mercedes, not even close, in second with 147
Fuck
points.
Fuck me!
Yeah, no wins and 4 podiums. Red Bull, close behind Mercedes, with 131 points, 2 wins and 4 podiums.
85% of those points consumed but collected by Max Verstappen.
I think, if you go back to the drivers...
Yeah, 10 points to UK.
Oh, 10. There you go. So, yeah, Ferrari with 114 points, no wins and 1 podium. Williams with 51 points. I think they have scored more points this season so far than they did last season, which is mind-blowing.
Juan Williams...
Obviously, for the rest of the results, there's no wins or podiums. But Haas with 20 points. Seventh place, Aston Martin with 14 points. RB with 10 points.
Probably collected by Yuki Tsunoda when he was at
Maybe. Hajar's been doing pretty well as well, though.
To be fair, yeah, he has.
Credit to him. Ninth place, Alpine with 7 points. And last but certainly not least, Kiksaber with 6 points. Again, I think they've scored more points this season so far than they did last season.
So let's talk about the more important thing, which was our Imola predictions. Fuck me, we were wrong.
We were wrong.
You know what? I don't give a fuck, right? I'm saying my 2 pence now, right? Ain't nobody predicting that fucking race. Nobody was predicting that fucking result. Not Lord fucking Jesus. So
I think so.
I went with Piastri, Norris, Antonelli.
So the result was Verstappen, Norris, Piastri. Neither me, you, or my dad got that correct. So,
I mean,
you got 1 point because the actual result was Norris in second. And you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I get one for Norris.
So, you get 1 point. Me and my old man both get no points because we didn't get any of them right. So,
I love the fact we are, all of us, it's.
It's crazy how we all.
You know, if your dad would. Oh, no, your dad just didn't put Norris down.
If. Yeah, no, it's still. I think all of us kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
You got Norris bang on second. I think I could be wrong. I'm not going to bother trying to look now, but I think that puts us with, in the points for the season prediction leads, with me at 8 and you and my old man both joined at 4.
Yeah.
And the only reason that I'm so far ahead is because of the last race where I nailed it bang on.
Yeah.
That was luck of the draw, that was.
Right, get your bloody laptop out now because we need that for...
But the old predictions. So
I know what I'm going for.
Okay.
I'm feeling good for this.
So the upcoming race, as we've spoken about multiple times already.
The Monaco GP, one of the best races of the season for me. I fucking love Monaco.
It's also one of the most boring races.
Yeah, it's boring, but when it goes wrong, it's fucking chaos.
Yeah, that's true.
And the tunnel. The fucking tunnel is incredible.
Do you know what? The tunnel also brings us back to a throwback of last season in Formula 2.
Yeah.
With Isaac Hajar coming up behind someone and someone stopped on the racing line and he just dodged it like fraction of a second. That was like chef's kiss.
Beautiful, beautiful. But
do you want to give us the full new name of the new Grand Prix upcoming this weekend, Sam?
You know what? We're going to announce that. You know what? Let's do this. This weekend it is the Tag Heuer Grand Prix de Monaco on Sunday, the 25th of May.
So UK time,
2 p.m. local time, 3 p.m.
So predictions.
If you're going to F1 Arcade this weekend, 1 p.m. I'll see you there.
I'm trying to think if I'm going to be there. It's bank holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, of course you're going to
fucking. Oh yeah. Because it's an early race.
You'll just go there and you just go to your gig. You'll do what I do and just do a double hit.
Double hit.
Obviously, I'm probably going to go home for a little bit though because I've got a break. But yeah.
Oh.
As I was saying,
I didn't sleep well.
P1.
Go on, P1.
Leclerc.
Leclerc. You reckon again?
Yeah, I reckon he's got it twice.
P1 Leclerc.
Mate, last year, the fucking lead he had at Monaco was unreal, you know.
He did.
The lead he had was unreal. I'm going to go Leclerc.
Go on.
Piastri, Verstappen.
Leclerc, Piastri, Verstappen. I'm just going to be basic, bitch. I'm going to go Piastri.
Norris, Verstappen.
Norris. And then I'm going to go Russell again. I've gone with that recipe before and that cooked.
You basic bitch.
So, hang on, where's the predictions? I'm sure I went Piastri, Norris. That's what I went with for Miami and that's the one that I won on.
You know what we need to do? You know, once all this is done, we need to just look and do like a percentage of how much we predicted like Oscar Piastri for every race to win.
Well, I'm just looking at it now. And bar two races, I've put Piastri as my top spot every time.
Jesus Christ. So, right. Anyway, Dom, that's pretty much it for this episode. So where can we find you?
I was going to say, I don't actually have to go. Well, actually, like this might be the first time it's ever happened that we are done.
This is why I like printouts. Why I like printouts.
So you can find me at DJ Dom Cook on practically everything. Where can we find you, Sam?
Find me at Sentio Silvano on absolutely everything. Also, a little bit of a free plug for the brand, but obviously Sprint Tuesdays now, F1 Arcade. That's
honestly, I saw that and
it's fucking lit, you know. Like,
just Birmingham or is that Birmingham and London?
Birmingham's the test site for it.
Okay,
so
Birmingham, UK, obviously, in case you couldn't tell from the
not Alabama or wherever.
No, there's so many. So anyway, did you get lost?
Before I give you my
okay, the turns have tabled.
Did you not see that Joe Lycett got everybody from all the different Birminghams in the world?
And go to Birmingham.
Yeah, and then gave him a tour of Brom.
Yep.
But yeah, you can find me at Sentio Silvano on absolutely everything. Dom, where can you find the podcast?
The podcast is at BoxBoxBoxPod on everything apart from Twitter.
Because somebody's a prick. What are we on Twitter? Sorry, X.
I don't think we've got one.
Fuck Twitter. Fuck Elon Musk. Fuck Tesla.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will see you.
It's been emotional.
The Tag Heuer Grand Prix de Monaco on Sunday. And we will give feedback on that race and chat shit about it again.
Part two of the triple header. The week after, we've got Spain. Same time. So, yeah.
Sensational.
It's been fun.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
It's going to be at the end of the audio, that is. Bye!